Welcome to another inspirational podcast teaching by David Crank, Senior Pastor of Faith Church.
Now listen, last week we started a sermon called There's Power in the Name of... And our golden text was, if you're watching and you didn't know, it's found in Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Check this out. And it said, there is salvation in through no other name but the name of Jesus. No other name. Everybody shout, no other name.
No other name.
Now, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And Jesus can help you through the situation that you're going in right now. He can help you overcome the obstacle. He can also give you greater power than you ever had before in your life when you ask him into your heart. He said, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So there's obstacles, there's problems, there's trials, there's tests. But Jesus said, I came that you might have life. Everybody shout, I came that you might have life. So today my sermon is, it got the name of Jesus in it big time, but it's actually not a sermon. It's a word. I was at our church on Thursday night in Florida at West Palm Beach. You should come see us. Thursday's the new Sunday, and we have church there. And right before I was going to preach, I heard God speak to me, and he said these words. He said, I want you to preach, expect a miracle. Everybody shout, expect a miracle. And he told me to share miracle stories with you that would inspire your faith, that you would start expecting the right thing. Let me tell you this. You will attract in life whatever you focus on. So you focus on new car smell, you get car payment. Come on, help me here today. Anybody ever done that? You're like, I'm taking all my kids and we going down there to Bellman GMC or we're going down there to whatever and we going to get free hot dogs. There is no free hot dog in life. Come on, somebody else. Amen. You start eating a hot dog, you're drinking soda, now you're Diet Coke drunk, you get in the car and you're like, that smells good. And they don't tell you the price of the car. They tell you the payment. You're like, this is pretty easy. It's only $50 more now than we're paying. But you don't realize that's until the year of 2027. Come on, somebody else. What you focus on tend to manifest in life. So if you're expecting bad to happen to you, bad things happen. If you're expecting good things to happen to you, good things happen. Everybody shout, I'm expecting something good. But you can get in a negative mindset and get bent down, bowed down, thinking, man, I just don't want to get my expectancy up because life's hard. Bad things happen. Let me tell you something. I remember getting married when I was 18 years old, married for 8 years. She left me. She divorced me. And I was all out of love, depressed, and I was expecting something bad to happen. What's wrong with me? My life is horrible. But then I changed the way I was thinking. Remember this, where the mind goes, the man follows. So mind go negative, man go negative. Mind go positive. I said, okay, I'm gonna renew my mind and I'm going to expect a miracle. So I'm going to start saying, God, I thank you that you're going to speak to me and show me things to come. God, I know that you have blessed days ahead of me, that you got good opportunities out ahead for me. And I just began to say, I want to start exercising and thinking differently. And then I met Nicole, and 17 years later, I got a miracle. I'm telling you that God is not a respecter of people, but he is a respecter of faith. What are you expecting? You might be getting what you expect. Well, I don't want to get my hopes up because I don't want to be let down. Anybody ever kind of didn't want to get your hopes up big time because you just didn't want the disappointment anymore? I'm telling you that God, he's able to do exceedingly abundantly and above all you could ever think, ask, or imagine, and he's looking for us to expect something big, expect something great, expect something to change. Now, here's what happens. We get into a mindset to where we think, all right, I'm going to base what God's going to do on what God has already done. Big mistake. So here I was 35 years old, knowing on the inside of me that I was called to pastor a great church. But, I mean, shouldn't it have happened by now? Well, I'm not even a pastor. What could happen? I mean, and my friends, they were years ahead of me. Some of them started in their 20s. They had a church of 1,000 or 1,500 people, you know. I mean, they got this mega church. But I felt like, man, I just don't know. Could it ever happen to me? I've been divorced. I had a setback. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, my dad goes on to be with the Lord. I was depressed again, thinking it was bad. God, why is this happening, Lord? There's a lot of questions that I had and I still have. I'm not here to talk about my questions. I'm here to talk about the answers that I've found in God's word. And the Lord said to me, I know the plans I have for you. They're for good and not for evil. Check this out. To bring you to an expected end. Expectancy is the breeding ground for miracles. When you start expecting something good, you just start thinking, man, something good is about to happen to me. Well, all of a sudden, all at once, my dad, now he's gone. Pastor Omar, he's the one guy on staff, and he's just hoping he doesn't have to go to work at Home Depot. We're not expecting much. But then I started hanging out with the right people. I started hanging around people that stretched my mind, because if your mind's stretched, it never goes back to the original size. And if you're the smartest person at the table, you're at the wrong table. And I started saying a saying called, "Show me your friends, I'll show you your future." Let's all shout that together. Show me your friends. And God supernaturally, through some altercations and maneuvering and some tough bad, some tough good, I found myself in Houston, Texas. And I found myself in Joel's back office with my spiritual mother, Joyce Meyer. And I didn't even expect to see him. I was just there with her. And I felt a tap at the shoulder. And I looked down, and there he is. He's like, "Hi, I'm Joel Osteen. What's your name?" I said, I like all your jokes. I wasn't expecting to see him. And a few days later, he called me. He said, "Hey, I don't really have a lot of friends. I don't know a lot of people, but I just really like you, and you made me laugh. Would you maybe be up in New York at this hotel with me and Victoria and hang out for a couple of days?" And I said, "Let me think about it." Yeah! And here I stood on a stage with him praying while 45,000 people stood up to receive Jesus, and I realized maybe God can do something big in my life. Sometimes God brings people in your life to change you and to get you to expect a miracle. And you might be thinking, "I wish God would send me somebody." He did. Surprise. I'm your deal. Yeah, that's right. You're like, "Surely not." Yep. God judged you. He gave you me. See, if God could do a miracle and cause Balaam's donkey to talk, he could use me. If God could do a miracle and cause a fish to come up out of the water and have within it the coin that would solve the problem, if God still hasn't forgot the recipe for manna, he did not forget how to split the Red Sea. He's working behind the scenes right now, but he's needing you and I, somebody ought to help me today, to latch a hold of this and say, "I walk by faith and not by sight. I'm expecting something good to happen to me." You know the story. The church went from 200 people to 18,000 people in 11 years and have blown the minds of all church growth experts. And they come in and study and say, "What do you do?" And I go, "I just go do what I do." "What do you do?" "I'm not sure what I do. I just talk to people." "Oh, that's different. You're not talking at people. You better clean up today. I'm telling you right now, if you don't come up, blah, 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 you're going to hell. I tell you, you're going to hell." I'm not telling you you're going to hell. Everybody on the way here told you you're going to hell because you drive horrible. You need somebody to tell you. Somebody ought to say amen. You need somebody to tell you there's a heaven to gain, there's a hell to shun, and if God be for you, who and what could be against you? Expect a miracle. Everybody shout it. Expect a miracle. Shout it like you had breakfast. Joshua, son, stand still. Check this out. Joshua 10, verse 7. So Joshua went up from Gilgal with the warriors with him, the mighty men. And the Lord said to Joshua, "Don't fear them. I have given them into your hands." Check this out. "I have." Everybody shout that.
"I have."
Not "I'm gonna." Not "I hope." He said, "I have." He hasn't even went into the battle yet. And God is saying, "I've already provided for you the solution to the problem. I have." Expect a miracle. That's what he's telling Joshua. Expect a miracle, Joshua. And so Joshua goes out in this great battle, and it looks like he's losing for a moment. And then all of a sudden, if you continue to read the text, it said that out of the heavens come hailstones. And these hailstones are chucking the enemy in the head, and they're knocking them out. How many of y'all got some people right now you're thinking, "Boy, I really would like that to happen. I would love for Shaquita to go to work tomorrow and go, 'What the hail?'" I said hail. I said nothing wrong. Boom. God's chucking people. Joshua's like, "Oh man, that's incredible." It says that actually God allowed the stones to destroy more of his enemies than they could do in their own hands. Did not God say that? That he said, "We don't war against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness in high places." We're not wrestling from a position of we hope to get the victory. We are seated with him in a position of victory. And so now we just got to thank him in advance for what he's going to do when it does not look like he's going to do it, because we are great expecting miracle kind of people. Oh Lord Jesus, somebody ought to help me today. Expect a miracle. So now it looks really bad. They're still losing. They're still being overcome by the enemy. And Joshua has the audacity to say in the middle of the battle. God, I want you to make the sun stand still. Now, that's some audacious, bodacious, bold faith. To say, hey, you know what, it's going to get dark soon, and I'm afraid our enemies are going to get scattered, and we're going to lose, so hey, I need you to stop, just hold where you are, God, until I finish plowing these guys. But he asked in faith, expecting a miracle, and the Bible said the sun stood still until he got it done. In other words, he said, listen, God, I can't win, I need some more time, and you might need some more time today. If I had just a few more days, I could make the marriage work. If I had a few more days, I could move this around and prove that I was right. If I had a few more days, the money could come in. I'm just this close to a miracle. Just ask God, hey, God, I need more time. Make it stand still. Push the situation back. See, faith and bold faith moves God on the scene because he loves to get the credit. If you could do it, you would get the credit. God loves having him walk down, running. The enemies are chasing him, and all of a sudden the Red Sea's there. He's getting ready to step in. God, now it'd be a good time, God. Now it'd be a good, boom, it clears up. God never shows up early, but he's never late. But I'm telling you, faith begins to walk out expecting God to do the supernatural. In other words, ask God to put his super on your natural. God's word to Joshua is your word today. He said, don't fear. I have given you the victory. I have already. Don't fear. Chill. Just relax and allow God to do it. I have quite a few friends that are athletes, and one is an MMA fighter. So undefeated for a long time. In fact, he just won in St. Louis this Saturday night. And Mike Chandler, a few months ago, there was a pay-per-view event in Las Vegas. And he goes to church with us and calls me and the pastor, Austin, my son, pray with him, love on him. And you kind of feel bad sometimes because you're like, God, we want you to allow him to destroy this other guy, God. Come on. God, just let him beat the fire out of him for your glory, Jesus. But I was watching the pay-per-view event, and my son had told me Mike won. So I already knew he won. But I was watching it. As we're watching it, because there was a lot of, he didn't just win. There was a lot of ups and downs. If I had not known he was going to win at the end, there were several times I would have got up and been like, oh, God, help him, God. He is down on the floor, and they're beating him. He's ripping his ear off, God. Oh, God, help him, God. But I was just sitting there eating my pizza, drinking my soda, going, I know how this ends. Now, it looks horrible right now, but I know at some point Mike's going to crawl up out of this mess and he's going to put the hurt on this fella. I was chilling because I knew what happens at the end. God told Joshua, and God's telling you, I know the plans I have for you. At the end of this thing, I know that what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. No weapon formed against you will prosper. Every tongue that rises up against you is going to turn around. Somebody ought to shout amen to this. He said, what shall separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus? Height, depth, things present, things to come. No thing shall be able to separate us from God's love. I'm telling you, if you're in the middle of hell, if you're in the middle of heartache, just get back up knowing I know how this ends. I look at your checkbook. I know it looks bad. But it's going to turn. Look at the diagnosis. I know it looks like I'm going to die, but Jesus said, somebody ought to help me. I'm going to live. It might look like in the natural you're not going to win, but if Jesus said you're going to win, miracles, they still happen. One of our original needs after my dad went on to be with the Lord, church could seat 700-800 people if you kind of lubricated everybody down and set everybody by each other. So church is growing really fast. It grew from 200 to 2,000 in 2 years, which means that I would do 9 live services, which will kill a man. Because, I mean, I don't know if you've ever read, like, one of the big fears is public speaking, right? A lot of adrenaline. While I'm preaching to you, I'm going too loud, slow down, throttle back, pause, put a scripture, tell a joke, my mind. How many of y'all believe I have a mind? Over 30, you thank you so much. And so my mind's going, my adrenaline's rushing, everything's need to be right, and there's 9 of those going. I'm back to back to back to back to back. Boom. But so we need to make more space, but we don't have more office. We don't have anything. And I reflected back on a day. My dad was going on to be with the Lord. He was lying there. He was heavily medicated. He was in and out. And me and Nicole walked into the room, and he called her Nicole girl, and he just looks up and he says, Nicole girl, can you believe God gave us that building? She's like, what building? She's going to play along. She said, what do you think it's worth? She said, I don't know, 250,000? He goes, no, it's worth $1 million. And God gave it to us. And my office is on the top floor. And he started kicking his feet in the sheets. And then he just turned over and didn't say another word. We're like, okie dokie then. But I think that God was showing him and he was seeing what was going to happen. Now, at the time, we didn't need a bigger building. We had 200 people. There was hundreds of seats left. You can land an aircraft carrier in there. Nothing. We didn't expect anything. It had been that way for 20-some-odd years. Nothing visible looked like it was going to change. But sometimes God has something bigger for you, and you don't know that it's on the other side of the hell that you're going through. If you could just make it through the hell, there's heaven right on the other side. But the devil tried to fight you and break you down. Somebody ought to say amen right before you get there. That's why the Bible said, don't grow weary in well-doing. You will reap if you pay not. So, check this out. So now, I'm driving out of church one day, tired. And I saw this building a million times, but it didn't really hit my mind that that was our building. Two-story office complex had a for sale sign, so I called it. They said, yeah, it's for sale. It's $1 million, and LipoDissolve had it, but they were sucking so much fat out of people, we wouldn't let them out of their lease. They're still paying lease money, so we don't really care if we sell it or not. They got a big old space. And I said, can we see it? So we did. Then we went to meet with the owner, and we did. And we said, hey, listen here. What we'd like to do is we want to offer you $500,000 cash, $500,000 tax credit. We're changing people's lives. This is a great church. We need you to help us. The guy says, listen, boy, I don't care anything about church business. You just passed that super Walmart and that strip mall. I tore down a Baptist church to build that. Come back when you have some money. So I left. I thought, man, now at this point, this is where it gets confusing, because sometimes you think, shouldn't it be easy? No, it's not easy. That's why the Bible said, fight the good fight of faith. There is a fight to faith. It's the fight you fight to keep from fighting in your mind before you get to the breakthrough. So I'm going away thinking, oh, man, this probably isn't going to happen. He's the owner. There's nobody above him. Well, not in the natural, but God is above him. So we left. A few days pass, and I walk out of Ruby Tuesdays. When I walk out of Ruby Tuesdays with Nicole, all of a sudden out of here. Now, here's still fighting me, but in here, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Out of here, I just remembered that deal that my dad had. He said, hey, it's $1 million, and my office is on the top floor. I looked at her, and I said, Nicole, do you remember when Dad said that his office is on the top floor? That has a top floor. Remember when he said it's worth $1 million? He said, that's our office. And she's just wild. So she's out in the parking lot going, oh, my God. And we're jumping like this, and people are driving by going, we're going to Ruby Tuesdays. So we leave. We make an appointment. We go back. Now, the owner thinks we're coming back because we're going to counteroffer. So we show up. We ain't got no more money than we did last time. We don't have another conversation. This is it. So come back. How you doing? How you doing? He says, so what's your offer? I go, well, it's pretty much the same as it was last time. But this time we're expecting, and about that time the big double doors opened and the CFO walks through. The CFO walks in and he goes, oh my God, David Craig. I watch you on TV, man. What the hell are you doing here? That was his words. That's when I knew God's getting ready to do a miracle. Come on. He's getting ready. Somebody said, hell's about to pay. Oh, yeah. I go, oh, woo, yeah, woo, woo. I'm trying to stay calm. Anybody been there but calm? And so I told him, I said, well, we need this building. God's changing people's lives, and this is happening, that happened. He said, man, I don't go to church or anything, but you really speak to me. He said, hang on. So he takes the owner out, and they go out, and they had about a 10-minute discussion, and they came back in, but this time they had keys. I'd never seen the keys in the building. And the guy said, here's the deal. We have decided that we're going to continue to take the lease payments from the other guys. We're going to let you guys stay there free until they do move out. Someday when you get the money, pay it, but it's your building. I said, we left and said, Omar, come here, Omar. We're carrying Dad's desk to the top that night. I said, Dad, your office is on the top floor. God did it, and he used the devil's money to do it for us. If God did it for me, he will do it for you. Expect a miracle. My best man at my wedding was an African-American preacher. He told me the story about his grandma, Carlton Demetrius Pearson, and he said, yeah, my grandma, she praised God for everything. So she'd go out in a little bitty garden about the size of a coffee table. She praised God for these tomatoes. Lord, praise you, Lord, for this house. He didn't even own the house. God, thank you for my rent money. God, thank you for my little cray-cray kids going to get saved and be preachers, God. Oh, God, I thank you. And so there's an atheist guy next door. It drove him crazy.
He goes, hey, why are you always giving God credit?
So he's going to fix her wagon one day. He goes out and buys a bunch of groceries, sits at her front door, rings the doorbell. He's going to prove she's wrong. She comes out. She says, oh, thank you, Jesus. He jumps out the shrubbery and says, God didn't do it. I did it. She said, oh, thank you, Lord. And you used the devil's money to do it. Oh, Jesus. Come on. Somebody ought to shout amen. Oh, I'm telling you, the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. You have not because you ask not. Start speaking to your mountain and tell your mountain, shut it. I got a word from God. I'm expecting a miracle. I'm expecting a breakthrough. Something good is about to happen to me. I'm blessed coming in. I'm blessed going. Somebody ought to help me. Everything that my hand touches turns to good. If God can get it through us, he can get it to us. But we got to realize that we need to trust him because he is the rainmaker. Somebody ought to. Come on, sit down. I'm almost done. Look at your neighbor and say, he's almost done. Look back at him and say, no, he's not. And that's why you got to get out here, because we can only preach for 28 minutes on TV. But sometimes we get to going up in here doing a nay-nay. Come on, somebody. All these white people, what's the nay-nay? Shout, expect a miracle. Shout it again, expect a miracle. Just because it hasn't happened doesn't mean it's going to happen. This building you're sitting in right now is the biggest bar in the state of Missouri. 177,000 cars drive by today. Hundreds of thousands of gallons of beer was sold, and it's the place that they did the honky-tonk and the Watusi. Swing your partner, swing around, kick her in the booty, and knock her down. That's what they did right here. Then God spoke to me and Nicole, and she would drive past this building every day because she was just a civilian working over here for a firm, and she would pass it every day, had no clue this was her building. If she had known and came home in her geo-tracker and told me, someday God's going to give us that building, and we're going to be pastors there, I'd be like, too much stress on you, woman. God doesn't reveal to you oftentimes what's going to happen in your future. She was driving past her promised land and didn't even know it was hers. I'm saying that maybe even today when you drive home, maybe you ought to drive home a different way. Instead of past the trailer court, maybe you ought to drive past the nice neighborhood and go, I just wonder what house God's going to put me in. Come on. I just wonder what. Somebody ought to help me today. You ought to just go up there and say, I think I'm going to walk through the BMW dealer and look around. Put on your nice clothes. Somebody ought to say, man. And walk in the BMW dealer and look around. I want to sit in that one. Test drive your future. You know what BMW stands for, right? It says bring money with you. Believe and expect for a miracle in the name of Jesus. Take the Advil in the name of Jesus, expecting a miracle. I really don't need to do a joke right here, but I just can't pass this one up because it's so good. Guy walked into his wife one night and he had an Advil and he said, here, this is for your headache. She said, I don't have a headache. He said, good. Some of y'all are like, ah! See, a lot of times women say that they got a headache. And it all started with, take the Advil in the name of Jesus. Yeah, I'll get back on now. Take the Advil in the name of Jesus. Come on. Look at the checkbook in the name of Jesus. Look at that little cray-cray kid in the name of Jesus. Look at that loss of the job in the name of Jesus. Look at the situation and say, if God can make the sun stand still for Joshua, he can turn this situation around for my good. And if God be for me, who and what can be against me? I expect a miracle. Shout it.
I expect a miracle.
Come on, one more time. Sometimes it's dark right before dawn. Sometimes it's lonely right before you get your Boaz. Sometimes it's scary. Hell's blowing a lot of noise. But then God, in one moment, what was a rejection over here? What looked like a denial was actually a delay. And the delay was something to put you at the right position so you could be the right person that you needed to be to step into it. If God probably wanted to do a lot of things earlier in our lives, but we just weren't ready for it. We had to get rid of a whole lot of us. How many of y'all had a whole lot of me? You didn't raise your hands. You still got a long way to go and a short time to get there. Once we get rid of us and what we're going to do and our plan and the way we think God ought to rain down miracle manna, Well, he's go, God, I just give it up. Cast all my cares upon you, for you care for me. Then God steps in and brings the provision for the vision. And I can promise you this. When God told me to start a church in Florida, I'm like, God, I don't want to go to Florida. He said, I need a faith preacher like you, somebody wild and crazy to go to Florida. There's a lot of great churches, but there ain't but one you. And I was like, yeah, you're right. So he goes, I want to put you on television. I said, God, how are you going to do it? Because I'm not asking for money. Last year, we preached to 4.9 million people, and we offered them all a free DVD, and we never asked for a dime. Come on, somebody. And there's a huge church in Florida, and God's going to give us a building off of Highway 95, because as long as I live, I will always preach in St. Louis and Florida the rest of my life. And Florida this time of the year is horrible. It's so hot down there, the chickens are laying hard-boiled eggs. It is hot. But I don't do it because it's what I want to do. I do it because it's what God wants me to do. And my life is not my own. And your life is not your own. It is His. So mine is to preach a happy, friendly, funny Jesus to depressed people so their life can turn around. And I don't know what your situation is or what you're called to do. But I know it's big. And I know it's closer than you think. But you just need to expect a miracle. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Pray this prayer with me right now to ask Jesus into your heart. Say, Jesus, come into my heart. I want you to be my Lord and Savior. I receive you now as my God. In Jesus' name, amen. And friend, if you pray that prayer, nothing changed on the outside, but something changed on the inside. So the next thing I want you to do is not just go to a church of your choice, because you might get there and might not like it. You might get there and it's very religious, very different from this. I want you to get up today, and I want you to come to Faith Church here in St. Louis, or if you're in Palm Beach, every Thursday night at Palm Beach Lakes High School, right there at 7:30, and allow God to do a work on the inside of you and expect a miracle. Many of you in St. Louis tell me, and even in Florida, you say, man, I watched for a long time, and I never came. I'm so disappointed that I didn't. The day that I did come is exactly what I needed, and it changed everything. And I'm telling you, that's going to be your story too. So how many of y'all will give it up for all the people that are going to come this weekend to Faith Church, that you're going to hug them and love them and bless them. Shout hallelujah.
For more information about Pastor David's teaching and ministry, visit davidcrank.com. We will